This meeting is being recorded. This is the Nederland Fire Protection District Board of Directors special meeting on August the 30th, 2021. I'll start with roll call. Ian Owen Powell, I am present. Todd Wiesler.
Present.
Guy Fulcetti.
Present.
So we have board quorum as it stands. I will call this meeting to order at 19:02. I sent you a link to the meeting agenda. I have not changed it, so it's as it was. This is basically a special meeting to discuss some items that have come up in the last couple of weeks that we need to move forward with, and I didn't feel could wait until we had a full meeting. Just because they're all stacking. Mm-hmm. And I make the motion to approve the meeting agenda.
Second. Go ahead. I'll second.
I approve.
Todd?
And I approve.
And I approve. Not accepting minutes in this meeting, but I will tell you that Jay Hill has done a sterling job of catching up on minutes for us. So we're going to have about five sets of minutes to approve at the next meeting. We will pause for if there's any public statements or comments from members of the public on the meeting. Okay, I'll take that as a no. As this is a special meeting, no treasurer's report, no ops report, and no old business, just some new business to discuss. So these are all tied together, and it will make sense as we work through them. Why we need to discuss this. So I sent out to you, and this has actually been in the notes for the last three meetings, but we never got to it because there was no need to get to it. But I was looking at the way that we structure our pay and the way we describe that. That process has always been a little bit opaque and has created certain amount of friction inside the department about how that all occurs. So what I'm trying to do, or my attempt here, find it, is to basically, and there's a couple of reasons I'll explain this, is to basically lay out how we intend to pay people. And in like a larger fire department, where you have more of a career structure and a way to move through the department, it would be more obvious how your pay is structured. So you'd start, say it's like a firefighter paramedic one, move through year over year up to firefighter paramedic five, at which point you become eligible to test for captain. And that's how your pay increases. Mm-hmm. But we don't really have that structure. So what I'm basically doing here is saying, well, we look at the skill sets of our employees, and we incentivize them to get skills that we want them to have. Mm-hmm. So for each extra skill they get, there's an increase in pay. Mm-hmm. So I think it's fairly clear. So our basic minimum is firefighter. So in this example, mm-hmm. is $50,000 base. Mm-hmm. If you're an EMT, add $10,000. If you're a paramedic, add 20,000. These don't stack.
Okay.
Same goes for like fire officer one and fire officer two. So it's 3,000 if you've got fire officer one, and 6,000 if you've got fire officer two.
Okay.
So basically, it's just a way of laying out for our staff, these are the certifications we're really interested in, and this is what we feel it's worth to us for you to have these.
Okay.
So there was previously, this was kind of done as a end of year certification pay arrangement. The process for that I felt was a little bit opaque and was basically up at the chief's purview of how they felt they wanted to spend that money. So there was like an $8,000 fund.
Yeah.
And each year those certifications changed. But I really just didn't really like that.
Mm-hmm.
So in this one, we're basically paying you based on certifications you've got and then plus experience.
And those don't stack either.
The experience don't stack either, no. So it's just incremental. So
yeah.
5 years is 2, 4, 10 years is 4, 15 is 6, so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tops out at 20 plus years,
uh-huh.
basically. And then in this example that I've got here, you have the chief rate clearly denoted. So one of the other, I think, issues that we have in our current structure is there's a very large gap between our captain rate and our chief rate. And that came around however that came around. So just some examples of looking through this, the kind of financial impact based on these numbers, and we'll also get to that in a second. So if we have a firefighter, paramedic, fire officer 2, fire instructor, I think that is, an experience 20 years. So all the certificates that we want, the financial impact to us is 95.5. This is kind of, so these numbers that we're looking at here is based on what we're currently paying. It's not quite right, but it's in the zone. So for our two current shift captains, the way that looks for them, based on this structure and their certification levels, is that one of them should be on 82.5, the other one should be on 77.5. They are not at that level currently. They're not too far from that, but they're not there. So a new hire for a shift captain would hit us roughly at 76.5.
Wow.
Okay. Now, that's that part.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody's still with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I make some comments?
Yes.
I kind of like what you're doing based on certifications. So it's based on skills and expertise mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I kind of like that aspect of it. The next thing I would say is, I think I sent a message to the board about, I don't know, what's equitable pay and comparable skill sets and stuff like that. And I think at the time I was looking at a fire chief. And if I remember right, the pay range, depending on skill sets, was, I think, anywhere from 94 to like 140 or something like that was what I would say the normal distribution. And then there were things on the extreme on either side and stuff like that. But, you know, I figured we're kind of looking for that. And whereas mine with it is that, how does that line up for the rest of the positions? I mean, as far as are we low? Are we high? I mean, you kind of, you know, like what I kind of heard you saying is the chief may be about right, but then the other positions might be on the low end of the, I'll say the quartile or whatever you want to look at it statistically.
Yes. So that's exactly where I was about to go.
Okay.
So basically, I did a quick
search. I haven't seen the spreadsheet, by the way, so.
Okay, that's fine. Don't worry too much about this.
No. I like spreadsheets.
Running calculations.
Oh, I love calculations.
To understand the numbers better.
Yeah.
So I did a quick scan last night of firefighter paramedic openings. Longmont are offering between 72 and 95, depending on your time served. These are what are called lateral positions. So you transfer at the same level that you are currently at. So if you've been in the department 3 years, you go in at their level three.
Yeah.
Mountain View was 77 to 92. And then Upper Pine River, which I'm not entirely sure what the location of it is, but was offering 55. I believe that opening has been open for a while. So one of the things that we have definitely discovered in our search to fill our shift officer role this year is that we are nowhere near competitive enough for what we're expecting. Mm-hmm. So the real, because basically, you know, that role that I showed you there, the Longmont Mountain View roles, so that's firefighter two paramedic, not captain paramedic.
Right.
Okay. So we're not even close even there.
And then even there, what I suspect what you're going to say is you're using years of experience as an analogous for a bunch of other things that we're actually putting, you know, like this person has this skill that's valuable for us. And then basically what you were saying down below, it's just the years of experience, and then somehow that translates. You've got some other numbers in there.
Yeah.
So basically, what that would say is tend to drive. We either have to increase the firefighter pay minimum there. Yeah.
So I'm going to pull another sheet over, which is a different example.
Okay.
So it's the same sheet, just with numbers that are much more comparable to where we should really expect to be.
So you increase the base pay by 5,000?
Yeah. And then we increase the medic by 2. And then what else we play with here? It's like for like. And then fire officer 1, fire officer 2, we bumped. So there's a lot of work goes into both of those certifications. Uh-huh. Fire inspector, we can probably beat that one around a bit. We left that at 2. Fire instructor 2.5. So you can see we basically just did some incrementing in there. The years of service remained the same.
You actually took fire instructor 2 down, didn't you? Or 1 down? Because fire inspector is 2,000, fire inspector 1 is 2,500.
So I took it down, sorry, yes.
Okay.
So this is like about version 97 of this.
Yeah, okay. Yep, you're playing around with it. Okay.
And then that makes a modification to our chief rate.
Yeah.
And we add in a captain rate that shows that we're paying for that. Paying for that rank, basically. So our minimum change is to lieutenant firefighter 2.
Yeah.
At 55.
Yeah.
So where that impacts us. So that basically brings our shift captain with our desired qualifications in at 89.5. And our current that brings in our current ones in at this rate. Mm-hmm. And obviously our fire marshal. So our fire marshal is a 3/4 times role, basically, which is why it is lower. But that's still an increase on what we currently pay in the budget, and there's 55, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's really where we'd need to be. So what I did, this sheet.
So, and then this is really just base pay and hourly and stuff. And then are you going to talk about other possible, are we going to look at either medical or other things?
Because yes, I do have a medical option in here as well.
Okay.
So because of our reorganization, it allows me to look better at the medical side of what we were offering. So the way it was before, or the way it is now, we offer 100% employee. You may add dependents and spouses and pay 100% for them yourself.
Okay.
Basically, we can do within that same budget 100% employee and 50% spouse and dependents. Obviously, the way our the way that our health insurance is structured is sort of strange in two ways. It's structured by age, and it's structured by number of dependents. So you pay for independently for each dependent. So for instance, my health insurance at work, there's only three rates. There's my rate, the rate for my wife, and then the rate for a whole family.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of a bit peculiar, but based on this year's numbers, I think we budgeted 81,000, and I reckon it comes in about 79 if everybody takes that option. If nobody, you know, obviously if people don't take the option, then we don't have that.
And then at least my experience, I don't know where people are at, but with, I'll say, Obamacare or whatever, people have solved some of the healthcare options themselves if they weren't given it at work. So so they may not want to sign up for whatever our health insurance, but if they're, if there's like a flex account or something like that, it,
yes,
I mean, and then they may be interested.
And we can talk to our provider about doing that. We sort of discussed that with them last year, but we just ran out of time before we had to renew.
Okay.
And we were way behind the curve on that.
Yeah.
And the other option, which is something that my employer offers, is if you don't take our healthcare option, my employer will pay a certain amount towards your healthcare.
Yeah, right.
So you can go and get your own healthcare, but we'll they'll contribute to that. So that's
a way of looking at that. That's what I was trying to say, probably not very eloquently, but yes.
So I haven't run the numbers on this fully, but so back in, let me do some history and how this is funded. Back in 2008, when the department decided to hire the three shift officers, there was a ballot measure that added a mill levy to our total mill levy, added 4 mils to our total levy, to pay for those positions.
Okay.
So basically, how that worked is that added, basically that comes out this year is about $252,000.
Okay.
What I forgot when they did that, and I only remembered it like 20 minutes before this meeting, was that back in 2018, we had another ballot initiative where we held on to the mill levy that was being applied to pay off the bond for this building, which I think was 2.97 mils. And that was placed into the general operating fund. And the intention for that really was to pay our shift officers, because they were incredibly poorly paid before then. And I need to run the numbers on our current budget and on our forecast budget for next year. We should have just received the proposed property tax valuations from the county treasurer. Should have gotten those in the last 2 days. I suspect they're in email somewhere, in order to figure out the fully funding this. But it is my estimation that this is almost fully funded, even at the almost top level, or the proposed level. So,
in some ways, yeah, I mean, we have two open positions, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that gives us a whole lot of flex on the budget until we get all those filled and get everything flushed out.
This year.
Right.
And I think there's scope for certainly implementing this year within our budget.
That's pretty what I was thinking.
Totally through my train of thought there. But yes, so what we could do this year, I believe, is go halfway there,
mm-hmm.
And adopt this. And then we can build into next year's budget the full proposed structure. That one. So it would be somewhere between those two numbers. So.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere using shift captains. Not that really matters. Sorry.
It's kind of like a 50K delta, isn't it?
Yes, that matters.
And I don't know, in some ways it might be just easier to implement the 55 for the base firefighter,
mm-hmm.
and then play around with the captain's stuff to fit it into how you want to move it into 2 years or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's an infinite number of possibilities of doing this. However, I told you this all tied together, right?
Sure.
We still have an open job posting.
Yeah.
So we need to come to some kind of pay range for that. We were talking about filling that role as a firefighter to EMT. I do have a job posting ready to go for that if we wish to go in that direction, because we've had that post open for 6 months.
Yeah.
And we've had no real interest thus far. However, there were two reasons we believed we didn't have interest. One was that, I'm sad to say this, we didn't have a very good reputation for a workplace. So people were disincentivized from coming here, and we weren't competitive in our pay.
Sure.
So if we make the pay more competitive, we may well solve that shift officer role problem.
And I don't know if we'll see this, but one of the things I curated on that, I was trying to hire what I would say hot IT skills at times, and I would be bringing somebody in new at a higher pay rate than I had somebody working for me for like 10 years stuff.
Yeah.
And that was a really hard pill to swallow for them.
Yeah,
And
it creates a lot of friction,
right?
Place for sure.
Sure. Well, and then you know, having some adjustment here for the people there, I think will help. So, and then if we're competitive in you know bringing people in, then you don't get into that situation too much.
Yeah. What if you know you're suggesting going halfway this year? This year only has what 4 more months in it, right? By the time we find a shift officer, they may be a couple months, 2 months, 3 months, if we're lucky, you know, left in the year.
Yeah.
And then next year, if we bump the pay to all be, you know, at a similar, you know, rate, like what we're suggesting here, then we have a budget we can plan it in. And, you know, it's a little easier to go into the new year with knowing what we're going to be doing for salaries.
It might be able to market it as like an FTO, so like field training. Okay. So if they get through 2 months of field training at this rate, once you're through that period, then you're making this rate. It's pretty common.
Okay. Yeah. I did have seen that. So the issue at hand really is this one. Because I need to, well, we need to decide how we want to do this.
But do you think if you don't bring it up to the level that's expected for a paramedic and post it at that level, that we wouldn't bring somebody in?
I have a feeling we will.
Okay.
I think we'd get interest if we did, the shift captain desired rate at 89.5, I think we'd get some interest at that. And obviously, you know, that number may change depending on what extra certs they're bringing on board with them. Mm-hmm. So at our base minimum, it's going to be that. It is possible, let's look at the downside of this. It is possible that when you're interviewing, you would be very careful that by doing this, it doesn't become a barrier. So if somebody comes along who's captain paramedic full certification, 20 years experience, you've got to make sure that you're not disqualifying them from the job because of how much they'd end up being paid. Just see what I mean? So you know, discrimination based on pay grade. But to be honest with you, somebody who's coming like with those certifications is likely being paid an awful lot more somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a pay cut for them. That's one of the possible issues that I see with this, or a way that you could say you're discriminating based on this. I don't think we would do that, and I don't see it's a problem because we are aware of where the ranges lay.
The only thing I would add, and I don't know, you kind of alluded to it, is there any pay for performance in this at all? I mean, yeah, there's pay for certifications,
yeah,
and getting those things, but is there pay for, you know, like, is this person the best, you know, fire captain we have, or, you know, at the end of the year, I thought you said there was $8,000 or something like that. Is that just more of a nominal thing that gets at the banquet at the end of the year?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was like a chief's choice.
Okay.
Kind of how they wanted to distribute that. And again, it's a little bit opaque.
Yeah.
And a bit tough. And unless we're going to set, strong performance goals, you can't really do performance-based pay. Mm-hmm. It gets really awkward, as I'm sure you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I came from an environment where everybody's pay was public.
Well, same here, right. Basically.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was public.
Public organization.
Right. So.
So we can play with these numbers, and we can run the numbers against this year's budget and then the next year's budget, but I believe it's fundable.
I would motion if you do the budget run and you think it's fundable, then we adopt it.
Okay.
And then you had a mid-step this year. Is that what you were proposing?
Yeah, the halfway. Halfway has what we can do.
You were agreeing with that earlier. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you saying that, or were you saying, as we've only really got 3 months left in this year?
No, I was saying we bumped it halfway.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's not going to impact the budget that much, is what my point was. And by the time we get the new shift captain in and then we adjust for next year, they're all going to be this plan.
And that's what I heard you say. I thought you started the argument, though, you were going to say, let's just go the full way because we're, I don't know, 8 12th the way through
that's what I thought.
Okay. So from a budget standpoint, you know, going halfway is, you know, half of whatever, 4/12 the year. So, you know, so at that point,
half of 4/12 the year.
I mean, it doesn't make more sense if we're going to be.
Well, isn't it?
It does make more sense if we're going to be offering this to a new person.
Yes.
Why wouldn't we put our team?
I'd be inclined to just move it. If you do the budget numbers and it looks like we can fund it, I would move it all the way to that level right now.
Okay.
If you go and do the budget numbers and you have some trepidation or something like that, then I would say the next thing is we adopt the halfway number.
Okay.
And then we see how it flushes up.
Okay.
Is that?
I would second that motion.
I would guess that. That's definitely where I was.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, guys. That was a lot of talking, and I'm glad you kept up with it. We discussed the medical benefits, and I'll reach out to our broker, and we'll get ahead of that curve, and we'll look at if we've got some different options that we can discuss a lot sooner. You sure?
Okay.
So based on that conversation, do we want to repost the external shift officer paramedic role?
How flexible can you do in the posting? And where I would go is, I at times would be hiring like network engineers, twos and threes or something like that. And so I'd write the job ad. If you fit the qualification for a two, your pay scale is kind of here. If you fit the qualification for a three, your pay scale is kind of over here.
Yeah, I believe you could do that. You could do it as two postings under the same. It's a one post to fill, but these are the two postings for that role.
So, I mean, because that if you could do something like that, because if someone comes in with a higher level of expertise, you want to be able to offer them a job at that level.
Yeah.
On the flip side, though, you know, I especially in the programming realm, you get somebody who's I often thought is aptitude and ability, double A's. Then it's nice to be able to have an option to bring them at a lower level. And then pay them that with the option to be able to move them up at a higher level later.
Okay.
So
I believe we can do that. We can do both posts. And so basically, we'd be saying it'd be based on qualification. So if we get a paramedic firefighter two who's interested at that rate, then obviously
we'll pay them at that rate.
Assuming they're the right person. Right. No, okay. Okay, let me just change that motion then to the repost that.
So is that a motion to post?
It will be in a second. Hang on.
Okay. For how long are you going to post it for? A month?
Hopefully not too long. I mean, a month at tops. We are...
Okay.
We are crushed at the moment.
Yeah.
We really need to fill that internal post, and I've got something to add to that later anyway. But yeah, I'd like to make a motion then that we post the internal shift officer EMT. I believe we have people who would be interested in that here. And an external shift officer paramedic. We probably have to post the EMT externally as well.
And part of that motion is that we're going to be posting them at the new rates.
The new rates.
Yep.
So I have a little concern as far as the EMT versus paramedic position. So so we have three shifts, right? One shift is going to be an EMT and two are going to be paramedics. So I said this earlier to somebody, but essentially, I'm not trying to make this sound like a selfish thing, but so on A shift, if A shift is the shift we're filling as an EMT, I'm at home and I get a page knowing that there's an EMT on saying they're running a cardiac arrest right now. They get lesser care because of that. So then does that leave me with a moral obligation to come into work on my day off to go run a cardiac arrest or whatever the scenario is, but that's kind of an easy one. You know, the other side of it is the mentor, you know, so I kind of think me and Kyle are mentors to the EMTs and the people who are just getting their IVs and have that experience. I think there's some of that is a little bit lost. And I'm not minimizing the work that the EMTs do. I just think that we have a bit more experience running calls with the education that we have and that sort of thing. So I think that we really push that paramedic post, and if it were me, I would revisit the EMT posting.
Okay.
Until we kind of exhausted all our resources for that.
So.
I'd like to make a comment as well.
Okay. Give me a sec. So the downside, I think, is just time. Really, for sure. And I understand what you're saying. And I get that. I did think that when this was floated a couple of months back, but having the post open for 6 months, you know, was clearly an issue. And you know, to a degree, this is a far from ideal solution to get us staffed to the appropriate level.
I think once an EMT is on board with us, we have an obligation to them. And if we decide that we're going to send them to the paramedic school, that's going to cost the department probably $75,000.
Right.
Would be my guess. Obviously.
In terms of tuition cover.
Yep. And we're going to be kind of right back where we are right now.
Fair point.
And paying somebody.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I think we should look at maybe an opportunity to do that to our EMTs now as volunteers, somehow help them get through paramedic school, but not to the degree that we're looking at right now.
Okay. I think that might actually, but it's not a solution. So, but that could be a way of future proofing us, giving us some business continuity built in. You know, I've mentioned a number of times one of the problems in this department is that there's no succession policy, and we are feeling that right at this moment. Rick, was that you?
Yeah, I'm here. I just want to say I agree completely with Charlie on what he just said about EMT versus paramedic. Also like to add that we have an established level of care that we provide, and I think that's expected and accepted by the community. I think that the board should on a regular basis review whether that's the correct level to provide and how much that costs and a whole lot of other things that go with that. But yeah. I hate to see a decision being made here in haste. We've all talked about why we haven't had applicants. We know things have changed. Very happy to hear about some salary changes. That's good. But I think until the board has time to really sit down and do whatever search, you know, or discussion needs to on that level of care, we should stick with what we have for the time being. Maybe that means we post it for a month, see what happens. And if we don't get any interest, then we can look at what is essentially lowering our standard. Not that we don't have great people. It's nothing about that in our, you know, internal, but I think we, like I said, we have that established level of care.
And I agree. It's a change in the level of care for one third of the time, effectively. Okay.
Hey, Ian, can I speak for a second?
Yes, Kyle.
So I agree with, I think, Rick, or the sentiments that are Rick and Charlie put out about the idea of having a paramedic long-term. Would there be a possibility to bring somebody internal to fill that position in an interim? So with a understanding prior to that employment that it would be an interim position to temporarily fill that while we were looking for a long-term solution?
Potentially, if somebody was interested in that, I'd be open to that suggestion for sure. Any other board thoughts on that?
I'm not sure how much an interim is really going to help us compared to doing a quick search or try to put some, you know, searching on an external post. What I'm hearing is we do the external post shift for a paramedic,
yeah,
right, and then push on that, and then try to fill it quickly,
right?
And then the interim, how's that? I'm trying to figure if we do it for a month and then we find somebody that's going to fill it in a month.
If there was somebody that would fill it interim and not be expecting anything more than, you know, dropping back to the original or the previous role, if you find somebody, then I think that if the team thinks that it's helpful,
yeah,
you know, yeah, just to cover the gap.
Because, I mean, my comment is that, you know, obviously if we go to just do the external repost, we're 2 to 3 months probably by the time we fill that seat.
I think we've also done a really poor job of posting. You know, I get stuff from like the National Testing Network and, you know, Indeed, and, you know, I get emails all the time. And well, I've never seen an email from HubSpot Fire.
Right.
Right. So I think we need to look at how we're posting that.
Be more aggressive.
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
well, we can always revisit the idea of an interim if we're seeing this dragging out to some extent.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Based on that input and based on the comments from the board, I'll change this motion then to do an external repost of the shift officer paramedic at the new rates. And we'll monitor that. And based on other comments, try and be a bit more aggressive about how we are posting that and where we're posting that.
I'll second.
Okay.
No, agree.
Okay. And I agree. Okay. Gee, really, this is your thing. You can get to talk on this one.
Okay, so we have, two quotes or something like that?
Yeah, right. So we have CPS that we spoke about last month and...
Kirk Consulting.
Got that job.
Yeah. And so at a high level, the first motion I'd make is that we only have two proposals, not three. I reached out to 10... different firms.
Bang up job.
Good work, yes.
A lot of them thought I was doing an RFP, and I was like, oh, I just stole the language from the RFP and sent it to you guys. And then basically we got to the CPS proposal. When I looked through that, at least when I looked at what they were offering, I thought it was a very complete proposal. Of the three, one that they offer three different levels. In this one, I would recommend, I think, the $25,000 level engagement, which is essentially taking the engagement all the way through to the point of, the full engagement right there. So, although I could be talked into having them go all the way in doing their partial engagement on this one and not doing the full engagement. If I remember right, the partial engagement was 19,000, full engagement was 25,000. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is if we go over to the other one, that's government, they responded. They seem to line up very similar in scope and what they're doing as far as engagement. Mm-hmm. They were slightly cheaper as far as, I think, 19,000 on, you know, their timeline, although what I was getting on that is that, yeah, it's 19,000, but then there are some other expenses that I think were put in there. So in my mind, these guys, you know, the proposals were pretty close to each other. I mean, within, you know, spent distance, if we have a strict requirement to get the lowest priced one, you know, I haven't gone through to pick apart to see if actually we got apples to apples comparison. One of the things I did not see in the first one that these guys have is like a guarantee on this.
Does have a guarantee, has a 12-month guarantee.
Yeah, I thought the other one probably did too. Yeah. So basically if something goes sideways, either on our side or on the consultant or on the candidate side, then they'll come back in at whatever the cost to run, but they won't have the cost to run it, but won't have additional fees for us. So,
yeah.
Which I think that was pretty reasonable. So, and then both these groups seem to have experience doing fire chiefs.
Yes.
And so at least for my assessment, we got at least two firms that I think would help us run a good process. And then maybe I'll end it there because at that point, you had some other options as far as what do we do, you know, rather than kind of dive in, we want to do this. I think you had some other options on the table that I think we have to discuss first before we essentially go after this, if we choose this one.
Okay. Right? I think that makes sense. Because yes, I do. I have a suggestion.
So hang on, give me a second to get back to this.
Interim chief search, not going spectacularly well. All of my outreach has turned up one candidate, and I'll explain that. And I went to CPS, our HR organization. They said they could do some outreach too. I haven't heard anything back from them either. My gut feeling says that there's obviously with a lot of wildland fires going on, there's a lot of very well-paid jobs out there at the moment that people are taking who have these qualifications that we were kind of looking for. But that said, we have to do something about appointing an interim chief for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. Leaving out the statutory reasons, we are now starting to run into problems that need somebody with the title of chief in their title, somebody with chief in their title to make a decision.
Sure.
And it shouldn't be brought to the board and have the board have to make that decision. So we have a couple of options of how we fix that. And before I get to that. So that's our first problem. We need somebody who can make decisions, that's empowered to do that. There's a vast amount of internal change happening in this department, some of it quite scarily quickly. It's all good change, and I want to keep that momentum up. And if we don't get ourselves an interim chief in that position, I think we're going to start to lose momentum. So on that note, I do, so I'm going to have to do a bit of full disclosure here. So I have spoken to somebody about, and I think I already mentioned this in the board meeting, about they reached out to me and said they wanted to be our chief, and they would consider doing the interim chief as a part-time role. After our last board meeting, they reached back out to me and said actually they didn't want to do that. They don't want to do the interim chief as a part-time role, because they don't think they can give it everything it needs. Okay.
I think we want somebody full time in the position myself. I don't think we can have a part time person.
I agree with that too. And while I was thinking about this the other day, having an interim chief is great, but because of the position that we're in, where this department is really in a period of change, I think we need somebody who is going to be invested in that change and invested in the future, long-term future of the department. And I'm not sure that somebody who's an interim that you employ for 6 months is going to do that while you do the search. So I'd like to make a proposal to the board about a way potentially to cover both of those and leave us options should we need to recruit a chief into that role. Does that make sense so far? Okay. So the person who reached out to me is currently employed and is not willing to leave their role to come to be an interim chief for 6 months and maybe not be selected as chief at the end of that. I had a conversation with them and asked them whether they might be interested in if we would guarantee a 12-month contract in this. I've got an air quote contract and I'll explain why in a second. If we could guarantee them a 12-month employment period, call it, with a review at 6 months, where we say, actually, this is the right person for this job. And if they're not the right person for the job at 6 months, then we go and say, okay, we'll do the national search and you're our interim chief until that search is completed. Or you can apply for that chief and you may still be the best qualified chief for that job. So what I'm really looking for from the board is the ability, or what I'm looking for really is for you to say, yeah, we could go with that, which then opens the door for us to actually talk to this person, which we can't really do at the moment because obviously they're employed somewhere else.
I'd make a motion to do that at the pay scales we have discussed.
Yeah.
And then I would give you a little flex in the chief option you had there because, well, you might need that.
And okay. I would second that.
Okay.
I think that as an option, we need something that's additive. We need to bring in more firepower to the department rather than trying to have a department that's already, you know, down a shift captain, you know, just trying to fill in the gaps that we already have.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really tough.
Based on that, we had a job description that I think we worked on. I think there were two of them. And then I think, at least when I looked at it, what I ultimately did is I liked the top half of one and the bottom half of the other.
Yeah.
And then where I was going with it is that if we start this, I would like to have a clear idea of how we're going to kind of evaluate that person from a job description, and then also have a way of a comparable, I'll say, evaluation form based on their job description. So that it's not, in 6 months' time, it's not what I would say subjective.
Yes.
You know, because we could say, okay, we asked you to do this number of training or this, you know, I can't remember exactly what was in there.
I believe that the person involved would be open to that. They're extremely keen to come here and help us move forward. And they bring a lot to, they would bring a lot to this department. So I think that worked. So really, I'm just looking for that freedom to start talking to them, to discuss, just to start moving that forward. So we get the job description laid out, the conditional offer of the 12-month contract. I will say, before we even get to down that road, that they're going to need to come in and meet the membership. The membership need to decide if they feel this is the right person to be chief.
Yeah.
Because if those two groups can't work together, this doesn't work.
Yeah, we're back to square one.
Yeah.
Is what we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then quite honestly, I'd try to move quicker on that, because if we could move quicker on that, then at that point, filling the officer paramedic really goes to the fire chief's role.
Right? And that's exactly kind of where I'm going with this is.
Let him or her build their department.
Yes. So the sooner we can start moving forward, the better. And like I said, we need somebody in that role who's invested in it, has the title of some kind of chief, and can move forward. So that's basically what I'm suggesting we do.
I think we motioned already.
Yeah, we motioned.
We did motion?
Yeah, I made a motion.
And okay. I seconded it.
Yeah. You didn't say yes, though.
I think I implicitly said yes, but I will definitely say yes.
Okay.
And just make sure yes.
Yes.
And Guy?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I think that's going to be...
I'd like to meet
very happy with that.
I'd like to meet the person too. You know, membership meeting the board.
So, I'm going to get to this.
Oh, that's right.
Here's the complication.
There's always complications.
So I spoke to our attorney about how this process needs to work.
Yeah.
To be correct.
Sure.
I need to re-ask the question. So I asked the question: can board members meet the candidate individually?
Yeah.
Their response was: I do not recommend that.
Okay.
I will send you the full text of the response. They said the correct process for employing a chief is that you vet the candidates, and then you announce the candidates, and then they meet with the board, and the board interview them effectively. And that meeting is a public meeting.
Okay. Well, then let's follow that process.
Yeah. And I don't have an issue doing that. My only question now back to the... attorney is, can the membership meet first without us announcing? And I don't know what the thing is with that. But internally, I know there are high recommendations for this person.
Okay.
So I will ask that question tomorrow. I meant to get around to it today, but other things got in the way. So.
Do you think, for instance, the membership meet this person, will we get unbiased feedback, do you think, or how does that feedback come back to us? Let's say they hate it or her. I don't
know. Well, then it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, I know. But how do we get that feedback? Does that come to you? Or?
It goes to him, and the person doesn't come to us. It's basically what I heard.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you. So I'm tired of talking to you.
I am not going to answer the heckling from the audience.
I'd
be looking for pretty much an up-down vote from the membership.
Yeah, that's great.
That says, this is our person or not.
Cool.
Okay. So that's kind of, I think that clears that up. So we have a process for that. The job description, I can merge that together and get that ready. And then.
What help do you want from us?
Well, can you take the job description and merge that together into the pieces that you said you liked?
Because
I thought they were both pretty good and very similar.
Yeah.
I'll work on the conditional offer with the candidate and make sure that we all agree before we step anywhere.
Okay.
Any of us have to come out into the open, basically. It's all a bit. And I know it all seems like we're doing this undercover, but it's not. It's just that actually employed, and I don't want to destroy their employment relationship at this stage. Mm-hmm. Once they're ready to say, good, then that's fine. And we can make all of that happen. It, again, is the joys of working in the public arena, this is the way it kind of works. Obviously, the downside is that we are not interviewing a number of people. I would counter that with a very quick search the other day. I found 43 open chief positions in the US currently. and some of them have been open for quite some time. And they have a very wide pay range, which is probably some of that. And again, I think either people are quite happy where they are, or are quite happy to be doing other things and not having the headache of being a chief.
So and this person came to us.
Basically said, I would like to be your next chief, which is possibly not a great way to pick somebody, but having seen their resume and had conversations with them about what they see here. And I will make clear, I've made no offers, I've made no contractual obligations at all. We have just discussed potential ways forward to make this work. So, but listening to them speak, I feel very confident to move forward with them and at least introduce them to the membership and see where that goes.
In my opinion, if somebody's pretty sharp, they'll figure out pretty quickly there's tremendous potential here.
Yes.
Put it in the right
way. And I'm also afraid that if we don't go down this road, this person will not be here and not be available to us in 6 months' time.
Yeah.
So, but I think we've approved it. We're just beating it to death
now. Yep. Move on.
So what do you mean?
Hey, you got the approval. What more do you want? Let's fix some equipment.
But should we go to the previous thing and just say, would there be a motion to revisit this? Well, after we determine what happens with.
I think we hold it for a week or two and then see what happens with the search thing. And then if that comes, then we basically put that on hold.
Yeah, I'll bring this back in the full board meeting on the 15th. Okay. And I think by then we should know a direction we're going in fairly clearly. Because the person of interest is also keen to move forward. So I think we're all in a good place. Hopefully, I will talk to them probably later.
Do we have a thing where someone has to live in our district?
We kind of do. Okay. But it's up to the board to decide how they wish that to occur.
Okay. Well, you do your stuff, come back. Let's move on.
I think, we will discuss that.
Right. Yeah.
Just because there's a...
Yep.
Okay. Oops. Lost my thing. Hang on. My chair's gone. Forgotten how to use a computer, excuse me for 1 second. We, by which I mean Charlie, Captain Schmidtman, sent 5642, our new tender down to Mountain View to have it assessed because I got fed up of waiting around. We're right in the middle of fire season, we're playing with valves, we're doing stuff up here. So I asked him to send it down to Mountain View to have them assess it and tell us what it will cost to get it fixed. basically, we're looking around about $3,000 to get that done. They also found two other issues that hadn't come out, which was a leaky oil seal.
Yeah, leaky front axle seal.
Leaky front axle seal. And wear on the drive shaft that was basically causing the clanking that could be noted when in the 2-3 shift under load. So it's also out there and it's ready to be repaired for those. Those both need to be done. This one needs to be done, basically. So I'm just rolling this past you.
So motion to approve?
Motion to approve, please.
Isaac?
They actually also found what could have been a catastrophic failure.
Yeah.
Even if we didn't get it fixed and we hit 3,000 miles, we saved lives.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. So just motion to approve the repair work.
I motion to approve.
I second.
Okay. I say yes.
Yes.
Everybody
says yes, so that's good. Okay.
Was I going to say anything else about that?
No. Come back from the day. And again, this is something else that wouldn't have come to us. This.
Right.
If we had an interim chief, it would have gone straight there and been done.
And just for my clarification, 621 is a new one.
262 is the one we just bought.
262 is the one we just bought?
Yeah, so we've been talking to Firetrucks Unlimited for a, we think, for a number of months.
Yeah.
We're not really sure where we're at with them. But there was a 90-day window on that for having repairs done for stuff that we found.
Mm.
So we will be passing that invoice to them and we'll see if they pay it.
Okay.
Or what happens with that. So it may not actually end up costing us because realistically, the valves especially, they should have picked them up, definitely. Leaky oil seal, drive shaft, I could go either way on that. But yes, we will be contacting them and talking to them, but we can't wait around any longer. It's just stupid dragging on. Okay. Final item on the agenda is we updated our COVID-19 response policy and building policy, which was to be able to see it was in there. Basically, we need to talk about that one. We just reevaluated our policy. It hadn't been properly reevaluated since last year. And we've obviously, with the rise of the Delta variant, the fact that Boulder County is in the highest transmission rate per the CDC. And I believe the county are changing their mask recommendation tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's the information I've received. We basically decided to update our policy. So it's basically no unnecessary visitors to the building. Any visitors to the building that are necessary will need to be wearing a mask all the time they're here and interacting. And anybody they interact with should also be wearing a mask. And then obviously when we answer the door, mask on at all times. If somebody is coming in, and standard decontamination procedures and temperature checks. And then only if they're coming in the building, yeah. And basically, then part two is that now on all medical calls, regardless of whether we suspect COVID or not, responders need to be masked up.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly indoors, but I would say at all times, should always be carrying a mask with you, you have one ready. Where it's a COVID-related call, basically dispatch generally will tell us if it's COVID symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be following the protocols and response guides that we mailed out last year, which is basically the paramedic is fully masked and gowned, goes in alone, and then makes a decision about where to take the call from there, so we're only exposing our most expensive assets. I didn't make
really
I didn't
how we were doing it.
Most expendable assets, is that what he said?
I said most expensive. And also, when we're on scene, if anybody within the call area isn't wearing a mask, we should provide them with masks.
Yeah.
On wildland calls, becomes a little bit more difficult, but usually you can maintain distancing. If you can't, wear a mask. If you're symptomatic, stay away. And then trainings will not require wearing of masks, and we're not going to require members who are vaccinated to wear masks in the station at this time.
Yep.
Great.
So, we're just considering this a non-public space, so more family-like, until the point where we get to, if we get to the point where the variant is so screwed that everybody's wearing masks all the time.
Yeah.
So if someone is not vaccinated, they have to wear a mask all the time.
Yes.
Right? And so implied in that is we don't have a vaccination policy that everybody has to be vaccinated.
We do not have a policy that everybody has to be vaccinated. I looked at that the other day. That got complicated quickly, as you would imagine.
It gets complicated. I would say, though, that if you look at it, a lot of employers are going that realm, right? And then the only out is if you have some sort of medical out or something like that.
Yeah, I believe so. So I will add to that. So I might make a motion in a second to add to that. I believe that all of us are vaccinated, to the best of our knowledge.
Everybody has told me, at least that I've talked to.
Yeah. So, well, then that almost sounds like a no-brainer. Is if everybody's already vaccinated, then you make it a policy, and anybody, you know, we're talking about hiring two. What happens if the chief comes in and they're not vaccinated? I'm not saying that's the case. No, that doesn't necessarily set a great standard for me.
But we're kind of a public entity. What's the complications of requiring vaccination?
It's not the complications of requiring a vaccination. It's how you deal with it and what you say somebody can do. So if you say, if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask all the time at work. That's okay. You're not vaccinated. If your job allows it, you have to work from home. That's okay. What you can't do is say if you're not vaccinated, we'll terminate your employment. Basically, that's the short version of the research that I went through. So first I'm going to make the motion that we adopt the updated COVID-19 policy, version number 2.5.
I'll second.
And yes.
Yes. Okay. And then, based on your comments, Guy, would you like, should we make a motion?
I would add another point to your policy that said you have to be vaccinated to be employed here or have a medical reason to be excused from being vaccinated.
That way you can do the employed part.
Well, okay. Can you look at how to phrase it in such a way that it is legally
yes. I'll look at what else is going on there. So basically I will for the next meeting we'll look at adding updating that policy for it with a vaccination policy.
That'd be great.
Okay. Fine. Okay. That's all I have. Continuing in future business will be in the 15th meeting. I'll open the floor to any public comments if there's anybody that has anything to add to anything we've discussed. I'll take that as a no. I don't have any other business. Anybody else?
No.
Okay. No special executive sessions in this meeting. Our next regular meeting is on the 15th. I don't expect us to have an interim. But if anything comes up that requires decisions, then I'll post one. And we'll make it happen. Okay. On that note, I will make the motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
And yes.
And I approve that also.
Very good.
I'm going to stop the recording. Sorry, just let me timestamp it. It is 2015, and this meeting is officially adjourned. I stop the recording. Stop that.